30. Mike leaned forward in his chair.
I had an interesting talk with Neil.
Yeah, Jamie said. I know.
You do?
Neil went right to Arthur. He was worried your nonsense about Nazis and Arthur's book was some clever ruse, that you'd tricked him into saying something important.
I think I did.
So we're all secretly Nazis?
I never said that.
Hail Hydra.
You seem pretty eager to turn it into a joke.
Or,
she said,
it is a joke and you're the biggest part of it.
She flexed her fingers. The ones on her left hand crackled and popped. Are you sure you're feeling okay?
I swear to God, if you ask me that one more time, I'm going to slap you.
Mike shrugged and settled back in his chair. I just want to be sure you...
I might slap you anyway just as a preventative measure.
She stepped over the bundle of power cables and walked past his station to check the liquid nitrogen tanks. She'd checked them twice already, and they'd been checked yesterday. He looked down at his tablet and flipped through the next 10 pages of The History of What We Know. It walked the tightrope between informative and entertaining and made that walk look easy. He was halfway through the book and hadn't seen a single thing that looked potentially door-inspiring. It was doubtful Arthur would be so blatant about something he'd copied, but sometimes people did dumb things. Jamie marched back to her workstation. She kicked one of the power connectors on the way and swore at it. She checked the monitor. Tanks the same?
Yes,
she sighed.
This makes no sense.
Yeah, Mike said. That's what we all said yesterday while you were being checked out. Jamie walked past her station to his, elbowed him out of the way, and leaned over the terminal to double-check something. Her shirt drooped open to reveal a wide swath of cleavage. Mike was suddenly aware of how few buttons were done on her shirt. She met his eyes and followed his glance down to her chest.
Don't get any ideas.
What?
We're not here for a nooner.
He coughed.
I beg your pardon?
She pulled the sides of the shirt together and fastened a button one-handed.
Don't lie. You were thinking it.
I couldn't have been. You told me the other night how unattractive you are. She gave him a thin smile.
All that brain power and you can't figure out when a girl's playing hard to get?
No, usually I can. I can also tell when she's close to demanding a restraining order. That's more what I was leaning toward. She laughed. Since you brought it up, though, he said, about the other night, you mentioned something at the bar.
Ah,
she said. She walked back to the other station and dropped into her chair.
I was wondering when that was going to come up again.
You said you'd gone over all the lines of code looking for an error that could have caused Bob's accident. She blinked.
What?
The code for the door. He gestured at the rings. Do you remember saying that?
That's what you want to talk about?
Was there something else? Her brow settled over her eyes.
I guess not.
So you'd gone over all the code at that point?
Yeah, that's why I went to get a drink.
How?
I got in my car, drove to the bar.
How'd you go over 2 million plus lines of code in 36 hours? Jamie opened her mouth, then closed it, and shook her head.
You must have heard me wrong,
she said. So you didn't finish going over the code?
Of course I did.
When? Because I couldn't have done it in that time, and I can pretty much guarantee my reading speed's faster than anyone you know. She smirked.
Now you're just trying to get me turned on.
Don't dodge the question.
Seriously, all the things we talked about that night and this is what sticks in your mind?
What are we supposed to talk about? Why you named your cat Spock when you were little? Jamie shook her head.
See, that's how drunk I was. My cat's name was Isis. My parents made fun of me because he was a boy cat and Isis was a girl's name.
You're still avoiding the question. Did you go through all the code or not?
You're being a pain and you're asking about things you're not allowed to know about.
Technically, I'm just asking about your job performance.
That doesn't mean you're not being a pain.
He put his hands up.
Just a guy trying to do his job.
She leaned back in her chair and tapped her foot on the floor, swinging it side to side.
Okay,
she said.
What's your deal?
What do you mean?
Why do you keep up this whole just a normal guy thing? Between your memory and your IQ, you're probably one of the most intelligent people on the planet.
Well, that's up for debate.
See?
Jamie kicked at the floor and her chair rolled away from the workstation. She pointed at him.
That's what I mean. You know you're in the top 0.001% of humanity, but you laugh it off and try to ignore it. You've got more potential than anyone I've ever known, and you're a small-town schoolteacher. Why haven't you been working for Magnus all along? Hell, why aren't you his boss? Or running NASA or JPL or something?
He shrugged. I'm not interested.
That's not a real answer.
It's real enough. She smirked.
Do you want real answers from me or answers that are real enough?
Mike sighed. He turned away and made a point of studying the rings. The red lights on either side of the door were still out of sync. He kept the monitor in his peripheral vision, but none of the numbers or readings even flickered.
Okay,
she said. She tugged her chair back to the station and turned to her own terminal.
Just remember, I offered.
You ever met any high IQ people? The ones with insanely high IQs? Or read interviews or articles about them?
My question first.
I'm trying to answer your question. She shrugged without looking up.
Counting you?
Sure. Jamie spun her chair toward him and swung one foot up onto her knee.
4 or 5, I think. Olaf's 165 or something like that.
What's the one thing they all have in common?
Besides being really smart?
Mike shook his head. When I was 13, he said. When we got the results back from the IQ tests, I was excited as hell. It's every kid's dream, right? To find out you're special. It's Harry Potter and Spider-Man all wrapped up in one.
So what happened?
Everyone started treating me different. All the other kids already thought I was some kind of brainiac, and now they had proof I was strange. All my teachers were either second-guessing themselves around me or giving me extra work and getting annoyed that it didn't slow me down. He looked through the rings at Site B. The red light flashed by again, like a fast wave of blood washing in across the beach. He remembered what Sasha said about a wound. I did my own study, he said. I reached out and found other high IQ people online. It was just basic stuff back then. Bulletin boards. CompuServe.
I remember.
But I was smart and I found people. Little proto-web online communities. The Mega Society. I talked to people, asked questions, basically studied every person I could find with an IQ over 150, and you know what I found out? She shrugged. Almost all of them have some kind of social problems. Relationship issues, emotional issues, superiority complexes. The more I looked, the worse it got. Most of them are isolated and lonely. The divorce rate looks good until you realize how few of them ever get married. Pound for pound, it's one of the unhappiest subsets of people you can find.
Why?
Because they know they're different. They know they're smarter than everyone around them, everyone in the building, usually everyone in a 30 or 40 mile radius. It's like spending your whole life as a doctoral student stuck in a kindergarten class, forced to do single digit addition and writing the alphabet every day. She sat back and digested the idea. I already knew my memory made me different. Now, I had pretty solid evidence I was going to be miserable for the rest of my life. And I wasn't even old enough to shave yet. So, I decided to be normal.
How?
By not feeding it. Until then, I'd read everything I could get my hands on. I watched tons of shows about history and science. And at 13, I stopped. I didn't give my brain more to work with. That's why I never had another IQ test. It's why I didn't study physics or astrophysics or biochemistry or anything like that in college. It's why I didn't want to work for Reggie. I don't want to know how much smarter I am than everyone around me. I didn't want to expand my potential or use the full scope of my phenomenal intellect. I wanted to teach high school English, help kids get into college, direct the fall musical, and live a normal, happy life like everyone else. Jamie's lips curled into a smile.
So basically you're telling me ignorance is bliss?
You have no idea.
There are just all kinds of levels to you, aren't there?
Not by choice.
What's the musical?
Little Mary Sunshine.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Is that a real thing or did you make it up?
It's real and it's cheap, he said. I wanted The King and I, but it's crazy expensive.
I was in West Side Story when I was a sophomore. My mom thought it'd be good for me to try something new.
How'd that go over?
I hated it. I'm not good at pretending to be someone else.
She looked at him for a moment.
You've learned a lot here, haven't you?
He made a point of focusing on the rings again. Yeah.
Lots of Physics, programming, electronics.
Yep. Her smile dimmed.
You're not going to be able to go back, are you? Back to being a teacher.
Mike looked at the monitor.
I sent them my resignation 2 days ago. My contract was up for renewal anyway.
Just like that?
Feeding the ants is a one-way street. I can't forget any of it, so I can't stop myself from thinking about it. That's why I kept turning Reggie down for years.
But you signed up for this.
He kind of tricked me into it, but how could I pass it up? Like you all said, it's going to change the world.
So where do you go from here?
I don't know, he shrugged. Maybe I'll try running NASA or JPL or something.
The smile returned to her face.
I'm glad you came here.
Thanks.
Have I answered your question? She straightened up in her chair.
I believe so,
she said.
How did you go through all the code so fast?
She studied his face for almost a minute. Once, her eyes darted to the rings, twice to the computer screen. She bit her lip, looked at the door, and the lights flicked on in the control room. Her eyes widened just for a moment, even as her shoulders relaxed.
I think that counts as another question you're not supposed to ask,
she said. Mike sighed.
My turn,
she said a little louder.
Which one of us is paying for dinner?
What?
Dinner,
she said.
Someone has to pay, you or me.
Why don't we just each pay for ourselves?
Jamie shook her head.
You're kind of missing the point,
she said.
If I don't have to say buy me dinner first, it's your big chance to look like a gentleman.
He stared at her for a minute.
Okay, fine,
she said. She fished a quarter out of her jeans and flipped it into the air.
Call it
heads. Her fingers snatched the coin out of the air and slapped it onto the back of her palm.
It's your lucky night,
she said.
You're buying dinner.
Ah. He looked away and bit his lip.
Something wrong with that?
Mike studied the rings. He watched the lights. He checked the readings on the screen. They still hadn't changed.
Well?
Did Arthur put you up to all this?
What?
You've become a lot more friendly toward me ever since I threatened him.
He ran through a list of potential words and phrases. Some might say aggressively friendly. Jamie studied his face for a minute.
Are you politely asking if Arthur's pimping me out to you in exchange for your cooperation?
I thought I'd done a fairly good job of not saying that.
Did it occur to you that this could just be a woman attracted to a coworker in a very normal, part admiration, part lustful way?
He shook his head.
I can honestly say it did not.
You weren't kidding about the social problems and relationship issues, were you?
Apparently not.
The control room light blinked out.
No, Arthur did not put me up to this. I am asking you to take me to dinner all on my own.
Telling me to, really?
Well, clearly, if I waited for you to ask, I'd starve to death.
They both made a point of studying their monitors and checking the rings.
Was there someplace you'd like to go?
Go?
For dinner.
Oh, gosh, I thought you'd never ask.